After a racy day across the country from Halifax, Montreal, Peterborough, Guelph, so many in between, Elizabeth May got to Hamilton, made it there by 6 o'clock to meet up with her other NDP candidates and gave one heck of a speech. At 7 o'clock, she was done and on to Channel 11, one of the few groups with Zero TV that would allow her to talk about her platform and even talk about what the Green Party wants to do. It's disgusting how much we've lost democracy in Canada. It's disgusting that this person, this fine thinker who is promoting people's ideas from the grassroots, has to go through the tour on this way while we listen to the two main parties insult each other with stupid lines that make no sense. It's time we took Canada back. People have to make a change. The NDP have been trying, and they are a good party when it comes to being in opposition, but they don't have the strength of it when it comes to being in party by themselves. We need the Greens in Parliament. Here's Elizabeth May, April 10th, in Hamilton.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honour and privilege to introduce you, the soon-to-be first MP for the Green Party of Canada, the leader of the Green Party of Canada, Elizabeth May.
Groundswell of enthusiasm for our platform. A lot of people who never knew they were green are finding out they are. I just had an exciting news flash. I don't know if you've heard, the consortium's changed its mind. Not about me. The consortium, that group of media executives who haven't ever had a consistent thought pattern in the time I've known them, have last week said that the debates are all organized. They said this in court, the Federal Court of Appeal. There's no way to make the last minute change. Everything's locked in. But they just announced they have some flexibility. They moved of the French debate from Thursday to Wednesday, so it won't be up against the Stanley Cup playoffs. So it's not a good thing for a federal party leader to have to do battle with the country's main media outlets, which represent interlocking webs of media-controlled, corporate-controlled media. I mean, you've got The media that owns the newspapers tends to also be involved with the television, involved with the radio. So I wrote a whole chapter in my last book about the dangers of corporate concentration in our news media. This was also probably not wise if I want to get in the debate. Probably also not a good move to share with the world that Stephen Harper brought notes to the debate when they weren't allowed last time. Well, I figured I should share my experience in political life, honestly. And I honestly was shocked in 2008 by the extent to which some media outlets tried to interfere with the election to promote some parties over others. Now, of course, I must have exaggerated. There must be some other reason Mike Duffy went to the Senate. So, Paul Martin, excuse me for this croaky voice, Paul Martin in his autobiography said that a politician who complains about the media is like a sailor who complains about the sea. I know it's rough going, but in this election campaign, I feel as though democracy got hijacked by five corporate media executives, two of whom are our public broadcaster, CBC and Radio Canada. The ombudsman for CBC and the ombudsman for Radio Canada have both said the same thing. This decision flies in the face of the public interest. This decision does not serve the interests of democracy. And for me, quite honestly, the chill over democracy that I feel from this decision is not even primarily because it affects the Green Party, but because what it says is we've fallen short of real democracy in Canada. We've been letting it slip away by inches. We haven't woken up to the threat. And in this election, it is my profound hope that despite the efforts of major national media outlets, not just to decide I'm not invited to the debates, but to decide that Greens aren't invited to the election, just one example. I mean, again, bad idea to beat up on the Globe and Mail, but on the other hand, why not? So on Thursday, we released our platform in Toronto. Last I checked, the Globe and Mail's office is in Toronto. And we released a substantive, exciting, positive vision for Canada with a fully costed program out over 3 years in which we would reduce the deficit faster with a conservative budget, in which we expand social programs such as early childhood education and child care, such as improving pensions, disability payments to ensure that no one with disabilities and no seniors live in poverty. With a vision to modernize our economy, to start investing in long-term infrastructure commitments. We were so proud. The Federation of Canadian Municipalities put out a press release to say the Green Party's commitment to municipalities is superior to that of any other party. We are the party that has said the most about Canada's role in the world, about foreign affairs, about Libya, about Afghanistan. We're the party that said, as far as I can see, the only things in this election about the climate crisis and how we can use the challenge and the threat of the climate crisis to revolutionize our economy, to move away from fossil fuels in a way that stimulates economic activity, creates hundreds of thousands of new jobs, and leaves Canada more productive, more competitive than where we are today. And yet, with all of that on offer in our platform, Friday, the day after our launch, the Globe and Mail didn't give us so much as a single little tiny box to say, and by the way, the leader of the Green Party was in Toronto yesterday, and they launched their platform. We don't think it's worth your hearing much about it. We thought you'd like to know they launched it. No, there was no reference whatsoever. So we have a real challenge in this election. We have a challenge to get the word out when there are a whole lot of people who who don't want Canadians to know what it is we have to say. There are a whole lot of vested interests that don't want to know that the single biggest growing cost in our healthcare system is the price of prescription drugs, which is growing out of control because of the influence and excessive power of the pharmaceutical industry. I came across this statistic while I was working on the updated platform with our shadow cabinet from the Therapeutics Initiative at UBC, a wonderful group that doesn't take a penny of pharmaceutical industry money. It just takes the submissions from the pharmaceutical industry that are given to Health Canada, and they review them to see if on the evidence submitted by the pharmaceutical industry, the drugs that are being registered will actually do more good than harm. And they keep finding examples of drugs that do more harm than good. And they mentioned to me that for every doctor in Canada, there are 2.5 pharmaceutical industry salesmen. So we've got a problem. And if we're going to bring in a national pharmacare program to make prescription drugs affordable to every Canadian, we better make sure they're not prescription drugs and they'll kill them instead of helping them. So we're going to do both. There's some other inconvenient truths out there, like the safety of our food system. How many of you know that the Canadian Food Inspection Agency has a dual mandate to be regulating our food safety? That's the one we know about. And to be promoting Canadian food exports. Anyone see a problem here? This is one of the reasons that the maple leaf listeriosis outbreak wasn't dealt with expeditiously, because the regulator is also the promoter, and they were worried about moving too fast to scare off those export markets for what Maple Leaf laughably refers to as luncheon meats. They are the worst of the worst of processed food that resembles not so much food as something so cheap that they can deliver it to homes for our seniors. How many things are wrong with that sentence? Our seniors deserve dignity. They deserve healthy food. Our children deserve healthy food. Corporate influence in our media, corporate influence in our healthcare system, corporate influence in food safety, and corporate influence in the fact that Canada is the only OECD nation with no energy policy. None at all. All we have, of course, is the ad hoc policy, which is clear as day when you look at everything the federal government has done, not just under this government, but in previous governments. Everything is about stimulating the growth of production of bitumen from the oil sands, and nothing is about reducing greenhouse gases. And that is irresponsible. That, Mr. Harper, not the coalition. Coalition cooperation is a good idea. What's reckless is ignoring the single largest threat to our survival as a civilization. That is not only reckless, it's irresponsible. And Canadians must rise up and say no. We have in this country moved some distance from who we thought we were as a people. A lot of you are too young to know and remember when Lester Pearson was Prime Minister. And Lester Pearson, who received, before he became Prime Minister, from the United Nations, the Nobel Peace Prize. It's the only Prime Minister we've ever had to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. Because in the Sinai crisis, he invented peacekeeping. Now, Canada ranks 69th in the world in peacekeeping. We have, in the last 4 years, three times refused a UN request to send four people to the Republic of the Congo to stop the loss of life there. We've had requests for Canada to help in peacekeeping, and we've turned the other way. We've had requests for Canada to step forward in efforts to meet the Millennium Development Goals. And Canada's response has been to say, any money we give to maternal health can't include abortion. That's George W. Bush's policy. It's never been a Canadian government policy, nor should it. It's immoral. In the eyes of the world, Canada used to stand strong and clearly against practices such as capital punishment. Every year in the United Nations, Canada used to co-sponsor the resolution to treat capital punishment as a defense to the International Declaration of Human Rights. Not anymore. Canada, our Prime Minister and his government have ignored the Supreme Court of Canada ruling that said Omer Khadr, his rights as a Canadian citizen, are being infringed. The government of Canada has an obligation to get that young man out of Guantanamo Bay. He was a child soldier, clearly brainwashed in his family situation. Leave that aside. We are obliged under treaties and declarations we have taken under the United Nations not to leave any Canadian citizen in a situation in which they are tortured. That's pretty basic. But we have done so. In the eyes of the world, Canada has become another country. We don't know what country it is, really. We're still the same people. The vast majority of Canadians find these stories distressing. The vast majority of Canadians know that we stand for compassion, for human rights, for global leadership on environmental concerns. After all, the steps taken to stop the destruction of our ozone layer were taken in Montreal. Yes, at the time, there were corporate interests that did not want the banning of chlorofluorocarbons. I was in those negotiations. It wasn't as though the whole world rose up and agreed. As a matter of fact, the White House and the Secretary of the Interior at the time said we didn't need a protocol to protect the ozone layer. We just needed sunscreen and broad-brimmed hats. The fact that we are no longer releasing chemicals that destroy the ozone layer is in large part due to Canadian leadership. We look around the world today and we know what the world community thinks of us. It was made crystal clear when we put ourselves forward for a seat on the Security Council. In all the history of the United Nations, we've never put ourselves forward for a seat on the Security Council without knowing we'd win that vote. But this time, we lost to Portugal. And the Prime Minister had the gall to say it was because we stood on principle. We're standing in quicksand, and we in the Green Party are building a new foundation to get out of the mess we're in, to move forward together with positive solutions that will really work. I see Ziggy over there, so I can't help but mention, we've got to shut down our nuclear plants, we've got to learn the lessons of Fukushima, and we're the only party that's talking about that. We're the only party. We put $1 billion towards a program of a youth corps so municipalities can hire young people, ensure they get job training, get a good job, and at the end of that program, and after working together here and getting paid in that job, working at the community level on projects communities need, get a $4,000 check to reduce your student debt. Of all our candidates, there's so many here, I'm going to be in trouble if I start trying to name everybody. Peter, have you already introduced all the candidates before I got here? We were killing time, I hope.
We didn't actually, but maybe we could all come up, or...
Well, you know what I want you to do?
Later on?
No, right now, I'm going to take a... Don't go anywhere, because I'm going to keep talking. But because my voice is bad, I want each candidate to come to this mic, tell everybody what body you're in, and I'll sip some water while you do that. But come on up, everybody who's a candidate. Doctor sickness that approaches a sort of sociopathology. These are people, who are so interested in winning elections that they don't know what to do when they've won except try to win the next one. It's people who forget that we are not in the United States. We don't elect a prime minister. We elect 308 MPs. And the government of Canada is the entire parliament. Reporters keep asking me when I'm going to pack it in and admit I'm not in the leadership aid. That'll be sometime around the time they actually fit the microphones on the other guys. Because I don't accept for 1 minute that Canadians have to accept a diminished electoral process in which, through arbitrary, capricious decision-making by a handful of media directors, we have such an undemocratic result that it affects the sensibility of three former prime ministers, the former head of Elections Canada, numerous leading commentators and academics who all say, in Canada, we just lost full, free, and fair elections, and we should never, ever accept a decision that's wrong. Only 38% of young people eligible to vote actually voted. And overall in Canada, only 59% of the population voted. Think about that. Instead of being depressed about what that says about our system, imagine the clout and the power that young people have when you all vote. Voting bloc in the 2008 election was the people who stayed home. The only way that you send a message as a voter is not, you know, stay home. Nobody thinks anything. Stephen Harper can say, well, they must like how things are going, they stay home. I'm convinced that the reason voter turnout is going down is due to deliberate strategies that come from the U.S. Republican Party under the banner of voter suppression. Tell all your friends, politics, if you think those politicians are behaving in ways that make you think, I'm not voting, I don't want to encourage them, tell your friends, if you stay home, you make Stephen Harper very happy. They're running campaigns, they're spending tens of millions of dollars on negative advertising, and the only thing that those attack ads do is reduce voter turnout. You've got to spread the word before, well, get as many of your friends to vote in the advance polls as possible. Get out on election day. Make that difference that surprises that cynical, self-satisfied group of pundits in this country who try to tell Canadians the Greens have been sidelined because Canadians don't care about climate change and Canadians don't care about democracy and Canadians will accept whatever dribble the main parties and media are prepared to shovel our way. Well, we won't take it anymore. And that's our point. Like the rant of Peter Finch at the end of enduring the film network. But here's what I want to say. Don't say I'm mad as hell, I don't take it anymore. Say I've got hope in my heart and I know we can have a better world. I know we can restore Canada to its proper place in the world. I'm hopeful, as all get out, and I'm going to vote for
time isn't wasting here. Thanks to all. Thanks to Dan and Sid for playing the music and the other entertainment. Well, thank you all for coming out. Elizabeth has 4 minutes for questions. I think you'd rather hear her answer questions than me stand here and talk. So, Elizabeth May.
Of course, we always, skip the questions and we just have a group hug. But, yes, anyone have a question? Yes, back there. Pat, I see you. Pat did a fundraiser at home in Fergus for us. Pat has come to every rally today. Pat gave me lunch. So, Pat, you get a question for sure.
Where is the debate taking place, and is there anything happening outside of the debate? Could we get people to Ottawa or whatever is happening to protest?
Well, I will say, the debates are happening in Ottawa. They're in the same place they were when I was in the debates. It always reminds me of that line, what works in practice should work in theory. I was in the debates and I did quite well, but anyway. I don't know if people are planning a protest. We're not organizing one that I know. I heard last night on CTV News, the things I hear on CTV News are often surprising, especially when they claim it's something I've said. So just so you know, I've never even hinted at the ridiculous idea that I plan to camp outside the building, which they reported on CTV News. So I will say I'm grateful to some independent networks. Here in Hamilton, you probably know, CHCH, in conjunction with Czech TV, in my home area of Southern Vancouver Island, have challenged all the other leaders to a debate that includes me. They issued that challenge within about 24 hours when the consortium said they weren't inviting me. The event is to take place tonight, starting at, I think,
8 o'clock.
Good. I'm supposed to be at the studio, so that's why I'm worried. I find this shocking. None of the other parties even bothered to send a reply at all. So at this point, I'm there with a little bit of a chance with a lot of journalists asking tough questions, just to have the time myself. But I'd much, much rather have the other leaders there, because the point of these exchanges is not just to hear what each party's platform is, but to see how people think on their feet, to see how they respond to each other. And that, as our lawyer argued in the Federal Court of Appeal, and by the way, we have not had a hearing at the Federal Court of Appeal. All we had was a decision from the court that they didn't have time to hear our arguments before the election's over. So we'll continue that, rather an academic exercise of point. CHCH and Czech are also talking to us about whether they can offer some other kind of forum on the night of the debates. I'm still holding out the hope that if the consortium can change the night of the debates for the haves, they might change the participants in the debates for democracy. Well, the comment from this wonderful woman in the front row with a Change the World t-shirt is, in the last election she didn't vote green because she heard we were in favor of nuclear power. Now, please be forewarned. Other people will circulate all manner of stuff on emails and listservs. I've been attacked, which was not true, as you can imagine. They claim I said Canadians were stupid. That was a big one. They claim I was at a pro-Hezbollah rally. They claim I'm against abortions. God only knows what they'll claim next. Although I hope that the various, never mind. I was going to make a bad joke about having an affair with Stephen Harper, but it wouldn't go to work. So, what I urge you to do is when you hear something about the Green Party that's inconsistent with your expectations of who we are as a party, go to our website, look up Vision Green, find that issue, and then you'll see what we really stand for. So don't accept rumors that circulate, or email warnings, or a message from me that I have a lot of bank money in Nigeria and I just need your signature. Utilize as much critical powers to, because if you heard that, you believe it, why not? But as you can see, we're a very strong party on core fundamental principles, and that's one of them. So I think that's my time up to get to. I want to say hi to everybody. Gosh, this is a great rally. Thank you all for being here. I'm very, very grateful.